So I, you know, left it at that. Well, listen, how many of you are cheering for Montreal? How many of you are cheering for Calgary? See, we're already divided. See, if the Riders were in it, anyway. What's that? Yeah, Tiger. I'm not even going down that road. One of my favorite stories is about a 72-year-old missionary who was discussing prayer at a women's conference. And to the small circle of women gathered around her, she explained that she first went to the mission field more than 50 years earlier, and she was extremely lonely. I mean, she saw that other missionaries were married and they had families, and she bemoaned the feeling that she was just all alone. And in her loneliness, she begged God to pick out a husband for her. She said, God, she cried out, God, I just need a husband in my life. And she told at this conference how she prayed and she prayed and she prayed, and she was sure that God would answer her prayer. One of the women in the group stood up at that point. She proclaimed, but you've never been married. You're still single, in fact. And the prim and proper missionary lady said, you're right. But somewhere out there is a 74-year-old man who's been resisting God's will for more than 50 years. That cry of the missionary is not unlike all of us who desperately, desperately want a need filled in our life. And we pray, and we pray, and we pray. And then we start to wonder, we start to question, we start to say, what's going on here? I've been praying about this. We wonder about prayer. Does it work? Why should I pray? Have you ever heard anybody say that? Why should I pray? What's in it for me? I can't explain all the mystery behind prayer to our Lord, but I want you to turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, we're going to look at just a few benefits to prayer this morning. What is in it for me, Psalm 139? I'm going to start by reading verse 1 of Psalm 139. A psalm of David. It's a great psalm. Lord, you have searched me and you know me. Beginning verse 1. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Now in prayer, I notice first of all that I receive rest. I receive rest. You talk about David seeing the big picture. He's got it. David explores the depths of God's omniscience, his omnipotence, his omnipresence. That means he's the all-knowing, all-powerful, ever-present God. David's dynamic and intimate relationship with God shapes his complete perspective on life. The king of Israel knew that God was in control of all things, that he wasn't alone. And that brought him such rest. David understood where he could rest. Do you know today where you can rest? I can rest in God. Can you say today, I can rest in God? Can you say that? I can rest in God. I didn't hear some of you. Some of you were resting at the time. I can rest in God. You see, God wants that. That's a relationship thing. I mean, you know, having that friend or that spouse or maybe even that child, you can just talk to me. The kind of person that you can just, that you have in your life, they just know you. They know your bents. They know what brings you joy. They know what hurts you. They know what frustrates you. They just know you. And when you sit down and you unfold your emotions with them, you just feel better. You know, you feel relaxed. You just let go. And you can just tell them how you're feeling. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, that person in your life. You just have that person that you can just trust. Well, David was clear in whom he trusted his entire life with. He could rest because David knew that God knew it all. He knew that God can see it all. See down the road and he had his plan. God had a plan for David and David just trusted in God for that plan. God knew that. Do you believe today that God knows all, sees all, and is all? Do you believe that God is sovereign over him? Can you rest and just let God look after those situations in your life? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, he said, I tell you not to worry about your life. Don't worry about having something to eat or drink or wear. Isn't life more than food or clothes? That's when you can rest, is knowing God, that God has got it all under control, especially through these times. We were just talking about this in our Christian Ed class, that the same God who walks us through all those circumstances, the same God who cares for us when we hurt, the same God who is a merciful God, a loving God, our God is also a financial God. And he can look after this economy. Do you know that? You believe that? Everyone has a job that we're walking through. You're going to have to just relax yourself, rest in God, and understand that there are pressures that are common to everybody. I mean, people walk through illness, marriage difficult. Even when we're tempted to rest or relax, we can become frightfully inconvenienced. It's like the mom who had a really hard day, and I mean, she had solved every problem imaginable. I mean, her dishwasher was in need of repair, and so she had to wash the dishes by hand. Her husband came home from work, and he forgot some of his stuff and important files, and she had to gather up the kids and get them over to the work. And her washer decided it didn't need so much soap. It was one of those front-loading ones, and it just threw it out its mouth at the front. And dryer kept tripping the breaker, and she didn't know what to do. She'd go, Colin, what do I do? You go to the breaker box. And the kids were busy all day long. They were just finding new adventures to do. And finally she thought, I got to just get some time. I got to sit. Got to rest. Got to relax in front of the TV. And she was sitting there. She's, you know, watching something that, you know, Dr. Phil getting some important food. And she hears the bellows of her children. Hey, Mom. Mom. Come see the kittens. So she did. You can't see, those are skunks. Boy, have you ever been inconvenienced just a little bit when you're trying to rest? And sometimes those inconveniences can become a long day, you know. I like the way the Message Bible says this. God, investigate my life. Get all the facts firsthand. I'm an open book to you. Even from a distance. You know what I'm thinking. You know when I leave and when I get back. I'm never out of your sight. You know everything I'm going to say before I start the first sentence. I look behind me and you're there. Then up ahead, you're there too. Your reassuring presence coming and going, this is too much. Too wonderful. I can't take it all in. What a prayer. King David is saying that when we really, really understand God, when we really believe him, not just believe in him, but believe him, we have so much security in the uncertainty of our future. Because there is a different, folks, in believing in God. Even the demons believe in God and they tremble. we need to believe God. And when we believe Him, we rest in Him. And that's too much. That's so wonderful. You know what that means? We don't have to have everything lined up. We don't have to have everything nailed down or structured. We can handle a lot of options, a lot of questions, a lot of skunks that come in our life. Because we can rest in the one who does know. Amen? In prayer I receive rest, but in prayer I also receive value. The psalmist, like David, he is very clear here. In this, look at verse 13 and 14. It says, "You created my innermost being." That's acceptance, boy. "You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully, wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." What a magnificent psalm. I know that. New Living puts it this way. "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it." Do you know it well today? We're told that the link between us and God's Spirit is not only reality, it is inescapable. In order to transform our thinking, we need to take time to just listen. Listen. We're His. And we are He are supernaturally interwoven and inseparable. Wherever you and I go, God goes. Whatever we think, He knows. In fact, He oversaw our conception and He gave us our personality and our physical makeup. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. What a reason to be excited. What a reason to be joyful. What a reason to enter into prayer with the one who values you more than you do. We have a hard time with this. You're valuable. Receive that promise for your life today. You are valuable. Say, "I am valuable." Our society is a society that so desperately needs to think right about who they are. We have a society in which self-image is so important. I got to be something that other people want me to be. But God created you. Everything about you, you're intricately made. Every little hair on your head, and some of you, He's losing count, so He's taking some off. Valuable to God. So valuable. In prayer, I receive rest, I receive value, and also receive focus. Focus on today. Focus your thoughts. Focus on God. This is such a great benefit of prayer. All of us here, we focus on something. We focus on our problem. We focus on our circumstance. We focus on our hobby. What brings us joy? We focus on that. But in prayer, we focus on God. And I love this. I love the way David goes here. Let's go to verse 15. Because I want you to see how erratic David can be. Listen to this. "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together into the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you would slay the wicked, O God. Away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me." Do you see? Easy to get caught in our own agendas, our own selfishness, and forget about where God is working. David had to refocus. Get his eyes off of what he wants and back onto who God is. Focus. What you focus on is where your heart is. God knows that. God, he knows where you focus is where your heart. And I think... Sometimes, most of us, Chris, we carry many things for a period of time knowing it's a load, but we're saying, I can't. I think I can handle this on my own. I think I can handle this. And too many times we don't turn it over to God until it becomes too heavy for us. And therefore we're not immediate in our response of just giving it to God. We don't focus on Him. It's like the two Irishmen, Pat and Mike, narrowly escaped death on a sinking ship. And they were floundering around in the icy ocean waters on a couple of planks, and Pat was addicted to the grossest profanity. And he thought he ought to repent of it, and then the Lord would come to his rescue. And Mike thought, well, that's good sound theology, so you better get busy with it, you know, Pat. So Pat began to pray. But just before arriving at the main thesis of his repentant prayer, Mike spotted a ship coming toward them. And as delighted as Columbus was when he first spotted the North American shore, Mike hollered, "Hold it, Pat! Don't commit yourself yet! There's a ship coming!" Isn't that the way many of us are? The only time we pray is when we're in a jam. And as soon as things improve, God? Who? We bring some things to God, but we certainly don't bother Him with everything because we don't believe God. We believe in Him, but we don't believe Him. See, God wants to be bothered, but we usually just talk to Him about the issues that seem to put stress on us. And then we wonder why we feel alone when we try to do it all alone. David walked through those times of loneliness. He struggled deeply, he was affected deeply, but he also knew that God was fully aware of what was happening and how it was affecting him. God does know how things affect us. We don't know. But God does. And that's why God wants us to have a relationship with Him. Prayer empowers us to focus on the one who can. The one who can get us through. Well, in prayer, I receive rest, I receive value, I receive focus, and I also receive resolve. Now, the word resolve means to clear of difficulties, to determine. The psalmist here, David, man after God's own heart, resolves himself to God. He says, God, I want my thoughts to be yours. I choose not to leave you. I want you. Now that's consecration. In other words, he says to totally give yourself to God. Covenant with God. I want to tell you something, a little secret. Satan's got us when we don't pray. Because nothing upsets him more than when we do. You see, his strategy is to keep the church from understanding just how critical prayer is in this battle that we're in. And we're in the thick of it, my friends. We're in a big battle. And we need each other more than ever. Because the power in this room is tremendous. We need one another, and that's a command from our Lord Himself. We need to build up one another, not tear down. We need to lift up one another in prayer. We need to pray for one another. And that's why Mandy stood up here and she called upon you as the people of God to pray about next Sunday for that poll and for the congregational assembly. That's why the elders are saying, we want you all there because we're the body of Christ. We're an assembly of Him. That's why we come together. Because we need each other. All of you. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He taught us that men should at all times pray and not lose heart. Have you ever lost heart? Are you feeling like you're losing your heart even right now this morning? Without praying, we can lose heart and then we just give up. Samuel Shoemaker said this. He said, prayer may not change things for you, but it for sure changes you for things. That's what prayer does. Well, I hope this morning that you've noted the benefits for you when you pray, but I hope you understand that prayer is all about God. And when it's all about God, the rewards for us are great. David concluded by saying these words, "Search me, O God." In fact, the Amplified says it this way, "Search me thoroughly, O God. and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there is any wicked or hurtful way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Who does David call upon to search him thoroughly? Who? God. Who are we to call out to search us? God. Who are we to rest in? God. Where are we to focus? God. God. That is what is in prayer for us when we pray. Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes. Just going to pray. Going to pray for your spirit this morning. Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just call attention to our spirit, each of us, Lord. How you've created us. You created us with a spirit. Lord, it's there. It wants nothing more than to serve you and to be loved by you and encouraged by you. But Lord, today for our spirit, we recognize that you search us thoroughly. God, know us. Know every little intricate part of us, and you do. We know that. You know our thoughts, even before we think them. Before we speak, God, you know the sentence out of our mouth. And Lord, you know whether there's something hurtful coming our way or whether there's the skunks in our life that enter in, those circumstances that are just beyond us. Maybe just rest in you, God, today. Lord, we're done with just believing in you because we know that even the demons believe that. But we believe you, God. We believe when you say that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We believe, God, that you have created us, as you've said, beautiful. You created us with value. You created us, God, with eternity in mind. You created us. God, you created us with gifts that go beyond what we can even imagine or think. And sometimes, Lord, we're so afraid because, again, God, we become so afraid that we don't even step out and use those gifts you give us. Because, Lord, we failed in believing you. Lord, we know as we look at the markets and the economy and everything that's happening, that you're God who looks after even financial stuff like that. You look after our leaders. You call us, God, to humbleness, and we humble ourselves before you today to look after all the situations, whether it be economically, the financial situation, or physically something going on in our life. Maybe it's something going on in our heart or our mind. God, we call attention right now to who we are, the fearful and wonderful person that you created. And we ask, God, your blessing on us so that we would believe you. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And all God's people said, amen.
There are a number of times in Scripture where life is kind of viewed like a river. And we're going to sing this song, Find Me in the River. And sometimes the waters can be a little deep and a little rapid. And we have